Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbor,
we're your neighbor.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hand,
and our favor. We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbor,
we're your neighbor.
Seems like we've...
Greetings and welcome once again, our radio listening audience, to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of a Creator. Thank you again this morning for listening to us as we bring to you our most powerful discussion today. A discussion that is not only timely, but it's necessary for us to understand why we are having the problems that we have today in this world, the society, why it is in the condition that it's in. And we must realize that we each have to take personal responsibility. We all are responsible for the world in the way it is, if we have not done our part, the best of our ability, to help make it a better world, the world that it was created to be, that we know it was created to be, because we know at one time we did not have the situation that we have in this world. We know that things were different at one time. We know that things were much better. They were not like they were, even though we had many, many nations on this world. We've had many times when, one moment, please, I'm trying to get my guests on here, and it seems like every time I try to get them on, I lose them for a minute. I think they're going to come back on. I can have them up. All right. Let me see if I can bring on our guest speaker anyway. I believe he's coming on now. Yes, I want to make sure that he was on the air before I introduced him. So, as I said, we have to realize that we have to take personal responsibility for the condition that this world is in. Each of us are responsible, and each of us will have to answer for that. So, why am I saying that? Because today our discussion will reflect on our personal responsibility and why the condition of the world is in the condition that it is in. Allah put us in this world as a test to bring out the best. Yes, bring out the best in us. Our life in this world will never rest. From birth to death, it is a test. In our test, we must prove to Allah that we trust Him. If we do, He will bring out the best in us. Allah created us with a good nature, and then He gave us a mind with the ability to know right from wrong. And Allah says, all the good that happens to us comes from Him, and all the bad that happens to us comes from our own stuff. So we must take personal responsibility for our own actions. We have been given freedom of choice. So we must ask Allah to give us the strength to choose His righteousness over our wickedness. Only Allah can give us this help. And Allah says He will never change our bad until we first change our bad heart. Allah made our hearts good. We make our hearts bad. This is why we must give our hearts back to Allah. Then Allah will purify our hearts and guide us back to His goodness and righteousness. But we must have the will to do this, Allah will not force us. This is all for our own benefit. Allah is free of all need. So we must give our life to Him with a desire to please Him and Him alone. Thank you again, our radio listening audience. And I want to remind you that you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. As you can see, he's bringing to you a beautiful discussion today, huh? Are you ready? Are you ready to join us? Are you ready to comment? Are you ready to ask questions? Are you all fired up? Yes. Let's get fired up on this discussion and see what we all can do. Can we bring that feeling of power, of doing, of being, of helping, of giving back to us? Can we be excited about reaching out and changing things, making them better, making this a better world, the world that we all know it once was? We know that even as children, it was a better world than it is now. So let's bring, see if we can bring back the good days, as they said, the good old days. The days when we didn't have our corruption, destruction that we have. We have all this modern materialism. What's it bringing? What's it given? What has it given us? Nothing but grief and despair. So, all right, let's bring on now Imam Shahid Shabazz. And let's see if we can talk about it.
As-salamu alaykum.
Okay,
thank you. First of all, we want to greet everyone listening with the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum. And next, we want to greet the Muslims all over the world that's fasting this month of Ramadan for the pleasure of Allah so that they can show their gratitude to Allah for all His mercy, all His grace, and all the favors He has bestowed upon us since He created us, which we can never number. And that's Ramadan Mubarak. Bless Ramadan to all of you sincere Muslims who are doing this to please Allah and for no other reason. First of all, I want to say, as the sister was saying, see, we want to talk about what real success in life is today. First of all, we want to talk to the Muslims. Next, we want to talk to the Christians. Next, we want to talk to the Jews, and then we want to talk to all religious people throughout the world, because the religious communities throughout the world is responsible for this world being evil like this. It ain't the government. It ain't Donald Trump. It ain't the government. It ain't the people out in the street. It's the religious communities. Study history and see, wasn't it religious men, godly men that Allah sent to the world, prophets and messengers, to change the world? You want politics. But you got now in the world Muslims, not all over the world, and especially in America, they are political Muslims. They have become political Muslims. What do I mean by political Muslim? What is politics about? Politics is about controlling people's lives for wrong, for the few to gain power over the many. Huh? Politics is about injustice. Wanting all for yourself and not none for your brother. That's what religion has become. Political with most Muslim, Christian, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, and other religious people. I'm talking to y'all first. Now, you talk about success in life. The sister was talking about success, and it was beautiful opening. Allah, the creator of all people, He tell you what success is in His final book of Revelations called the Quran for all people. He tell you what success is. And then He goes on to describe what success is. He says, I have it here. I want to just share this with the Muslims first. and then we're going from there. This is what Allah says success is, because a lot of Muslims, most Muslims in fact, they think success is in dollar bills. I mean, you know, not too long ago I was told that, you know, in a way, a roundabout way, that thousands and making thousands and thousands of dollars was more important than really making sure that you want for your brother what you want for yourself, and not saying it in words, but showing it in your action. This is the first thing I'm going to emphasize this day. If I don't get nothing else, if Allah don't bless me to get nothing else out, I'm going to get this out strong. And I ain't worried about nothing either, because Allah is sufficient for me in all my affairs, in my whole life from birth to death. And can't nobody do nothing for me no way but Allah, because all good come from Allah. It don't come from us. And, you know, I want to say this too with this. You know, a human being can't become human until they first realize that they really don't exist and that Allah is the only reality. Then you can become a human being. When you realize that the one you can't see, huh? The one that got the sustaining in the air you breathe, you can't see the air, but you breathe in the air, and it's giving you physical life. But Allah says he's closer to you than your jugular vein. What do he mean? He ain't talking about just your physical life. He's letting you know that I'm the one that is keeping you alive, not only physically, but I'm the one keeping you alive spiritually. So one imam told me in Maryland, he said, brother, imam, always let the people know this, that when they forget Allah, this is what Allah said in the Quran, they forget their very own souls. There's another saying that sister was talking about when we was growing up, and I'm 60-something, that we said, whatever a man or a woman or a man, it's just man mean mine. Whatever a person gain the whole wide world of materialism and lose their immortal soul, they've gained nothing. But guess what? They've lost everything. Everything. Allah says, all that's with us will pass away. And Allah says, all that's with him will endure, last forever. We came, Allah created us and brought us in this world, and when he brought us in this world, he brought us in this world with nothing. And guess what? He take us out of this world the same way. You ain't taking none of them thousands of dollars with you or millions of dollars with you. You ain't taking your wife out of this world with you, your husband, your children. You ain't taking anything out of this world, because nothing here belonged to you. And everything here was created from nothing. And Allah say in the end, he going to take it back. He going to take it out of existence again. And then just, it won't be no more world. Won't be no more people here. And then he going to bring in his world in the unseen, in the hereafter. So this is what I want to say to you Muslim first. So you know what true success is. And stop pretending that you're successful because you're making a lot of money. And because you are in with the in crowd. America is called a land of plenty. So most Muslims come to America not to help bring the truth of Islam to America. They come here to join in the dunya, to get their portion of the dunya, the materialism. And Allah say the root of all evil is the love of materialism and the desire for it. How did, so Allah says here, he say, Allah say in the Quran, he say in his final book of Revelations, the Quran, he say that he or she that obeys Allah and Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, has already obtained the highest achievement. Now you want to know, brothers, Muslims, sisters, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, how you obtain the highest achievement in this world? Is to obey your creator and obey his last prophet, who represent the best of all prophets and all human beings. Allah says to Prophet Muhammad in the Quran that for anybody in any religion, any person who wants to have, you know, who wants to have any hope, that they might be saved on the day of judgment. Prophet Muhammad is the best example for them to follow, for anybody who have hope that they might be saved on the day of resurrection and judgment. And see, going on with this here, Muslims especially, Allah say, success again ain't making a lot of money. It ain't piling up material things. It's obeying Allah and His Prophet Muhammad. And Allah, the key word here is obey. Faith. Faith. Without obedience is what? No faith. Allah the Most High say 999 people out of every 1,000 on the day of judgment will enter hellfire. And Allah say one out of every 1,000 will be blessed to enter His heaven. This is because Allah knows the intentions behind the actions of people. Allah say most people so-called good deeds is for self-glory, not for His glory. All glory belongs to Allah alone. This is a final warning for all people. You only get one chance to get your heart right. Death ends this chance. Will you be that one out of 1,000? Only if you accept and realize in this world that you are nothing and Allah is the only reality. I'm going to stop right here because I want some comments. I want some feedback if anybody want to give me some feedback before I go into the Quran about Ramadan too. As-salamu alaykum.
Malaykum, my name. Hey, Shabazz. You're listening to our radio listening audience. The program of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. We want to remind you of that. We want to thank you very much for joining us. And we want to let you know that we are thankful to have you. And always remember, when you come on, always remember your brothers and sisters. Invite them to come on also. If you're enjoying the program, they too need to hear it. If it's giving you what you need, what you want to hear, what you think is necessary for the world to hear, then bring them on to have them to come to. And now I will see, we do have one guest here that's ready to express themselves. We'll see who that guest is. We have a 310-654-6259. Can you give us your name and tell us where you are calling from?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Ramadan Kareem. Alhamdulillah. My name is Shagan Walden. I'm calling from Inglewood, California. And as usual, excellent topic, brother. I just want to touch on one thing that you said. Politics is Islam, and how it has gotten to the point where it is now in society, where leaders of Islamic communities as well as Islamic countries have lost sight of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us in the Quran on what to do. Because when you say Deen of Islam, Deenul Islam, okay, you're talking about a way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a criteria, right? He has shared it with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may peace and blessings be upon him. He has shared it in the Sunnah, right? So what I'm saying is, this is a way of life. So everything is covered on how we are supposed to conduct our life. We have the blueprint. Allah has given us the blueprint. So yes, Islamic countries have a political system, right? But it is the perfect political system which it has not been applied correctly. You have leaders that once they get a taste of power, then they don't know how to act. But Allah has told us this also through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he had said, even you must follow a leader, even if he's a tyrant, right? Because it's one of two things, right? It's either a test for the believer. You're going to be if you're living in under a tyrant's rule, you're being tested, right? And you have to be able to sustain it because your reward is going to be with Allah. Your reward is going to be with Allah. So we also have to understand that there's a difference. And this is the problem I feel that, and this is just my opinion, that the Islamic world is having. We don't know the difference between a leader and a scholar. Okay? A scholar is not a leader of a nation. A leader of a nation turns to scholars to get what? Nasiha, to get advice. Right? Some of us, we follow behind scholars too closely and we lose sight of how the structure system is set up. And we could talk hours just about that alone, about that area of study. But it's rules. It's rules to this. And we need to start following it, especially in this country. If we want to set up an Islamic community, you have to set it up correctly. You can't go with your feelings and emotions. You have to set it up the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to set it up. And that's what I feel that we have fallen short as a Muslim community in this country as well as in this world. And that's what I have to say about that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that was very, very concise, very, very well said, and very, very correct.
Alhamdulillah.
Brother, amen. Very, very correct. I'm in 100% agreement with you. You know, the Quran, like you said, is the blueprint. It's just like how they build automobiles. They give you a blueprint so you know how to operate it. And if you don't follow the blueprint, what will happen is that you're teared up. You will, there's something called law and order. There's an order and law that Allah created when he created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth under justice. And he also created the heavens and the earth under law and order. Everything is ordered. Everything that's created, it has its own life that's ordained, ordered by Allah for it. And life, Allah say the whole material world is dead. The life in this world, a lot of Muslims think that they act like and show it. They think life is in the material or comforts. Allah wants us to have these material things. That's how we're going to establish, you know, the order that he wants. He gives us the material things, and he says, enjoy them, and just don't worship them things. But the life, even in this world, for the believer, it doesn't matter what religion you're in. The life is the same life in the hereafter. That life is Allah. Allah is the life. You can't see your real life, but you can live your real life. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, Allah said he was the best model of human behavior for any who believe in Allah in the last day. So, here again, I want to quote this out of the Quran. Hold on, if you'll give me a little patience here, audience. I appreciate it. First of all, this beautiful month of Ramadan, I can't go without saying how powerful it is. And this is my 44th year of going through the fast. Alhamdulillah. And this particular part of the Quran is called the Night of Power. We just want to touch on this just briefly. Allah says in his book, Quran, he says, blessed indeed is the night of power when the mercy of Allah's revelation breaks through the darkness of the human soul. He said, all the powers of the world, divine, speed on their mystic message of mercy and by laws command and bless every nook and corner of the heart. That's why the heart is so important. Allah revealed the Quran on the Prophet Muhammad's heart, not on his mind. He said, all jaws are still in the ring supreme of peace until this mortal night gives place to the glorious day of an immortal world. I hope you all think on that. And I hope I didn't say it too fast. But Allah is talking about the night of power as being letting you know that all power, even in the material world, it comes from Allah. And he brought that he sent his power down to us through the angel Jibril, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, to Prophet Muhammad in that cave that night. Huh? Why is it the night? Why didn't Allah send it in the day? Night has a significance. What do night mean? It means that the world was in spiritual darkness like it is now. The light for the human being or light for the human being is not external. It's the light of Allah inside of us. It's Allah's spiritual light. This world is in spiritual darkness. It was called Jahiliyyah 1,400 years ago, which means age of spiritual darkness. Look all over the world. You see spiritual darkness. Well, this particular night, Allah revealed his final revelations, and he says of the Quran, too, he revealed the Quran as a healing for the diseases, what? In our hearts again. Again, Allah say, hearts do find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah. So you got Muslims, you got most people, period, trying to find satisfaction in everything but the Creator. But you can't. That's why they go to the extremes. When you're trying to find satisfaction in anything Allah created, you're going to always be disappointed. But when you try to find satisfaction in the good pleasure of Allah and pleasing your Creator, pleasing Allah, you're going to always be satisfied even if you ain't got a penny in your pocket. If you ain't got nowhere to stay physically, you're going to be in better shape than those who got billions of dollars. Huh? Because Allah is not only our creator, he's our sustainer. So, you know, with that said, we're going to go to another section in the Quran, and then we'd like to hear the brother again, if you want to come back on, or anybody else. But we got to get these two here out of surahs, ayats, out of the Quran. And this right here is a surah. I'm just the best I can, but you understand where I'm coming from. It's called Al-Taqatua. And it's in the last of the Quran. It's Surah 102. Allah says here, he says that when people had a passion for piling up quantities of numbers, whether people following them or whether material things of this world, he said it takes their attention off the more serious and higher spiritual concerns of life. So he say, Allah says, be not engrossed in things temporal or short-lived to the neglect of spiritual concerns in life. Allah say, life is but short, and death will soon claim all of us. Allah say, all that people would only learn before it is too late the serious issues of the higher spiritual life. He said they must taste the consequences of their neglect of their spiritual life. He said for every good they enjoy in this world, they must in the hereafter give a strict account. Now, we want to go to this surah. It's short. And we'll be through. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The mutual rivalry for piling up the material things of this material world diverts you from the more serious spiritual concerns until you visit the graves. But nay, you soon shall know the reality. Again, you shall know. Nay, were ye to know with certainty of mind, you would beware. You would take heed. Ye shall certainly see hell fire again. ye shall see it with certainty of sight. Then shall ye be questioned about, then shall ye be questioned that day about the joy in this world ye indulge in to the neglect of obedience to Allah and His Prophet Muhammad and living a righteous life. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum as-salam. I want to remind you once again, our radio listening audience, that you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And as you can see, this is a powerful discussion that we are having today. As we bring to you a message that Allah put us here as a test and why to bring out the best in us, to bring out the best, all right? So we're constantly being tested. We have people ask, oh, why is this, why are we hurting the wives? It's just one struggle after another. Yes, and with each struggle you get better, not worse. If you want to live, if you want to do something with your life, that struggle will bring out your best. And this struggle is your test. I want to thank you, Ma'am Shahid Shabazz, and I want to thank our beautiful guest from California today, who is really speaking beautifully, bringing us a beautiful message also. And this reminds me that I have been to two graduations in 1 week. One was my granddaughter, and the other was my grandson's graduation. And people are waking up. Such beautiful, beautiful speeches that they delivered. And as I listened to them and listened to these words, one thing came to me, though, that we still are afraid to mention the word God, as they call our Creator. In the society, they call Him God, most of them. But we are afraid to even mention the word, mention anything about the Creator. Allah, God, whoever we call Him, we are afraid to mention that name. We go on telling each other what to do and how to do it, but we have to be reminded that we can do nothing without His permission, without His guidance, without seeking His help first. And that you don't tell the truth. But this is where we fall short of our success in life. Until we acknowledge our Creator and turn to Him, I don't care what we do and how we do it. We're not going to reach that level of success that Allah has prepared for us to reach. And our success will only be an illusion. We will think we're being successful when we really won't be successful. No way to be successful without giving credit, acknowledging our Creator, seeking His guidance, and giving Him that credit.
Can I say something 1 minute, just for a moment, sister, before I forget it?
Yes, sir.
This is very short. This is Quran. Allah say he or she succeeds in this life that what? Purifies their heart. And He say he or she fails in this life that corrupts their heart and their soul with corruption and with evil. That's it.
And again, without holding up our beautiful guest today, I know who's very anxious to come in and give us some more of this wonderful wisdom and truth. We will have see now if he has another word to say at this time.
As-salamu alaykum. Wow, look at
that. Walaikum salam.
That surah, Imam, that you quoted is an excellent surah because it describes the children of Adam to a T. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we're so preoccupied by the love of this world. Delights in its adornments, right? Because this ayah in the Quran, the shaitan says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the shaitan to get out of here, right? He says, Rabbi, which means my Lord. He says, Rabbi, give me respite until the day of judgment. He said, I will adorn the earth, which means I will beautify the earth and mislead all of them. And then in Surah 102, Allah is telling us, Allah says, you know, Allah is telling us that we're so preoccupied by the dormancy and delights of this life It distracts us from seeking the hereafter and desiring the hereafter. We desire what's here in this dunya, right? And there's also a hadith that describes this, what you were saying, the mutual increase. The mutual increase diverts you. And it says the son of Adam would say, my wealth, my wealth, my wealth, my wealth. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the son of Adam had a field that you could see for miles of gold, nothing but gold, he would wish for another, just like it. But do you get any kind of benefit from money? Except that you ate, right? And you finished it. You clothed yourself, you wore it out, or you gave it to charity. And another hadith that follows that pertains to this surah is three things will follow the deceased person, right? And I know, Imam, you know exactly what they are, but I'm going to share it with the audience that doesn't. But three things will follow the deceased person, and two of them will return, and one will remain with him. So when you die, there's three things going to follow you. Two out of the three is going to return, and one is going to stay with you. And the things which follow you are the deceased person's family, his wealth, and his deeds. Right? Family and the wealth is going to leave, and your deeds are going to stay. And you see, that's the thing that I try to stress to the brothers. We need to be focused on what we need to do to prepare ourselves for death, to prepare ourselves for facing our Lord, to prepare ourselves for the day of judgment. You know, we have to focus on that. We have to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in this world for us to benefit, for us to do, for us to attain these goals.
That's right.
And you get to that from studying, knowing who your Lord knowing what his expectations are. Whenever you go to a job, right, you start a new job, you just don't walk in the job and start working. These people are going to say to you, this is what we expect for you to do, for you to get your paycheck every day. Right? You have expectations. This is what we're going to expect you to do to rise in the company.
That's right.
Right? So we have to apply the same thing to our genes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expectations from us. He
said,
if you want to rise in this deen, you must seek knowledge. You must do good deeds. You must do this. You must do X, Y, and Z. And these are the things that we have to implement. We're quick to implement everything else, right? Make us better people, for us to succeed in our lives. We are quick to implement. Why can we not implement what Allah tells us to implement? That will definitely, he promises us, that it will make our lives a little bit better doing it, right? Right? But it also says, and you have to be aware of this, a lot of people aren't aware of this, he gives us a criteria, everything to do, right? Pray five times a day, give charity, everything to do, what he expects us to do from the time we're able to do it till we die, right? So in the Quran, he always uses that word in Arabic is the ilaka, right? Which means, in English, a rough translation, perhaps. It's not a definite. It's a perhaps you need to have that.
Right.
Perhaps you need to have that.
That's right.
So you do all this. So imagine that. A lot of us are slipping. We're not doing everything. right? But imagine the people that are doing everything and living the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to live, and doing what they need to do, so perhaps they may get the paradise.
That's right.
Or upon the mercy of your Lord, you know? So that's why it's important, right? It's important, like what you're doing, building a foundation with this show, disseminating the proper information to the people so they could excel in their lives. It's all about all of us studying to help one another, to be able to sit back and be prepared to give what you need to give to your fellow brothers and sisters.
That's right, man.
Assalamu alaikum.
Amen. Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful. Well said. Beautiful. Again, well said. And I'm really grateful during this blessed month of Ramadan, which is better than 1,000 months, Allah say, to have someone like you on the program who's not mealy mouthing the truth, but you're speaking the whole truth of Allah and His Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm very grateful again to have you on. You're one of the best guests that I've had on, you know, because you're not holding back the truth. You're just speaking the truth as it was revealed 1,400 something years ago to Rasulullah. Prayers and peace be upon him. And I just want to say this too. You know, this, these are short. Allah say you're not a true believer until you want for your brother. He ain't talking about Muslim. He's talking about mankind. We're all one human family. He said, you ain't a true believer until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. That means that you will want good for all mankind. Prophet Muhammad was the prophet for all mankind. Then Allah says this right here in Quran. He says that he created us as nations, tribes of the world, that we might get to know each other and not despise each other. So the whole benefit of being here in this world for the human being is to help your brother. It's not to hurt your brother. You're in a strong brother because you can knock somebody out. You're a strong brother when you see somebody down and you pick them up. That's what makes you strong. It makes you strong in the sight of Allah when you help your brother. And Allah says, oh, this is so powerful. This is a knockout Muhammad Ali blow. Allah said, ye will never obtain righteousness unless you give freely, willingly, of that which you love. You know, most people will give something to you after they done wore it out. They don't want they done use it up. And they'll give it to you. And they think Allah going to bless them for giving you something they don't want. It's a lot of nasties I done been to over the years. And I've had a wife, and they go, they need clothes, they just come in the dean. They give them clothes that the good women have better clothes than that. And I'm like, whoa, I don't even say nothing. I just say, come on, let's go, you know? So, you know, what do Allah say he going to judge us by on the day of Yom Kippur, resurrection and judgment? Our intentions and our deeds. Allah says in the Quran, he says it's not our material wealth that's going to bring us closer to him in degrees. He says our faith, only our faith and what? Good deeds. So you see, good deeds is emphasized in the Quran, you know, and charity is the biggest thing that we can do to earn the pleasure of Allah. It's helping our brothers and our sisters, calling them to the good, sharing the good with them, and telling them to stay away, calling them away from the wrong. Allah says if you see your brother or sister in the wrong, call them back to the right. Call them back to the right. Don't condemn them. Don't judge them. Just call them back to the right. And Allah says also, you know, for the Muslims in particular, he said Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a shaheed, a witness of the life he wants us to live as Muslims all over the world, if it's 3 billion or how many. And Allah said we the Muslims are obligated to be shaheeds for mankind of the life in the Quran, the that the Imam is talking about too, and following the Sunnah, the example of his last prophet, who was the prophet and is the prophet for all human beings, for not only his time and this time, but for all times. On the day of judgment, Allah said he's going to bring Prophet Muhammad forth, to only, the only prophet to intercede for people. You know, to intercede for people. That is, you know, like in a court, you know, a witness, you know, if they follow the line, their life lined up with the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, then okay, then that's the only way he can intercede for them. Their life has to line up with the Quran and with his Sunnah. Then Allah will allow him to intercede for you. Like the brother said, and Prophet Muhammad said, that even he asked forgiveness. I think it, you can correct me, anybody, about 77 times a day he said he asked forgiveness. Now, Allah said this: he didn't forgive this man of his sins in the past and the future, in the future. So why was he asking for forgiveness? It wasn't for him, it was for us. He said, Allah say, if we only knew our shortcomings, like the brother Imam said, we would weep with our weeping angels rather than down here laughing and enjoying and getting indulging into all these pleasures. We would be not necessarily physically crying, but we would be taking life more serious. We would understand that we it ain't gonna be. Imam, if you speak on this now, because I want to be correct. I want Allah to guide me. If I'm incorrect, I stand to be corrected. Allah say 999. This is hadith. But hadith is what the prophet said. Allah say on the day of judgment, Allah said 999 out of all the people he created, 999 out of 1,000 would go into the hellfire, and only one out of that 1,000 will be able to make it into Jannah.
I have read a couple of things about that, but I haven't really delved into it like I'm supposed to. But I have read it. So for me to say, okay, that this is a strong hadith, I can't do that. One of the things I have studied over the years, I just touched upon it. I haven't really delved into it like I'm supposed to, but I touched upon it briefly, is strength of hadiths, right? The lineage of hadiths, and we could talk about that. That could be six shows. 6 hour shows.
Yeah,
just to touch upon it, right? But anyway, so I'm not to answer your question. I wouldn't want to correct you or not on it. I've read the hadith, but I don't know how strong it is. But say, you have mentioned something. You see, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the things Allah allowed him to see, right, was the hellfire. Okay? So that within itself inspired him to really go hard and trying to show his people and Muslims that will come afterwards the importance, the seriousness of this life, right?
That's right.
And the hereafter, which consists of heaven or hell, right?
Yes.
Now, you know, you also have other prophets. And when you were saying crying, right, you would cry. It brought to mind,
yes,
another prophet, the prophet Noah, alayhi salam. The Christian Bible, I think it describes it as he was a drunk. Laugh. No, definitely not.
Yeah,
he was,
yeah,
a prophet.
Stuck a lot, yeah.
Right? And he lived hundreds of years, right? And prior to building the ark, knowing what was coming, right, he used to cry. I mean, always cry. he would sit underneath his tree crying because he knew what was going to happen to his people.
Yes.
He knew. He knew. They used to come by a lady with a son and ask, what's wrong with him? Oh, that's Noah. He's crazy or whatever, right?
That's but right.
They said that about all the prophets. You know why?
Yes.
Because the prophets came from amongst the people. So
that's right.
The people knew them, right? Knew their families,
yes.
Right? For example,
yes.
Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, they used to say, he's a prophet? Who? Joseph's son? The carpenter?
Yeah.
This is the type of thing that prophets and messengers used to have to go through because the people knew them. It wasn't like someone just automatically appeared and they went, oh, no, that's. I grew up with this guy. That's like saying, hey, I grew up with him. I went to high
that's
school
right.
with him. He couldn't play
that's
football.
Right.
You know, now he's a prophet, you know? So that type of analogy. But to pull it back to what you were saying about this blessed month of Ramadan, I just wanted to share with you one of the things that we need to be gaining from Ramadan, and that's the attainment of piety, right?
That's right.
To be pious,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
The scholar said that has always stuck with me. As you gain more knowledge, it's supposed to humble you.
That's right.
As you gain more knowledge, it's supposed to humble you. You have to keep that present form because it can go either way as you gain knowledge. And
that's right.
And in English, the scouts call it lowering the wing, which means as you gain more knowledge, you get more humble. You have to do everything to keep yourself humble. So one of the things
right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, in Baqarah, the cow, Surah 2, Ayat 183, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, like it was prescribed for those who came before you, referring to other prophets, referring to other, the Jews, the Christians, right?
Christians.
So, right, so that you may what? Attain piety.
That's right.
Right? Through fasting and the performance of this type of worship, the Muslim has an immense path and a blessed passage which leads him to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa, right? And
that's
like
right.
we said before, it's not a fear that I'm scared of you, right? But it's a respectful fear, right, for your Lord, okay? And taqwa is to perform acts of obedience to Allah based upon light from Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, and to abandon the disobedience of Allah based upon light from Allah, which is the knowledge, right? Fear what? The punishment. Like I said, going back, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got a glimpse of the hellfire out here, as well as paradise, but the hellfire. The hellfire where our loved ones, listen to me, our loved ones will be spending eternity. Our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, our parents
correct.
That are, you know? So that's
yes.
why it's imperative for us to study, learn, so we can learn how to give proper dawah.
Yes.
You can't come up to a family member or to a person and you say, man, you need to be Muslim. You going to go there? No, you can't tell no one that.
No, that's correct.
You know, you have to come up humbly and respectfully because the law tells us to respect the other religion. Why?
That's right.
Because they may disrespect ours.
There you go.
That's worse for them, you know? So we respect them, and we have to give the proper dawah. And the proper dawah starts from it starts from actions, right?
Yes.
How do you live as a Muslim? How
Correct.
Are you conducting yourself in your business, with your coworkers?
That's right.
With your neighbors.
That's right. That's right.
And this is how everything, and you touched upon it earlier, and I just want to elaborate on it just a little bit. Everything starts with attention. The most important thing in your body is your heart, right?
That's right.
The kalb, the heart, the kalb. Because as you sin or you do these things that we do as humans, a black speck comes on your heart until the heart hardens. It turns black and it hardens. And then nothing will penetrate it. Allah tells us, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein.
Yes.
Right? That's your lifeline. It's pumping blood to that heart, right?
That's
that
correct.
That heart is the most important thing. If you have a pure heart, man, you could accomplish so much in this dunya that will assist you into getting the paradise. So we have to
correct.
Work on purifying our heart.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
As-salamu
alaykum. Allahu Akbar. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Very, very beautiful again. Well said. And, you know, the key is what you said and what and I like what you said. You can validate what I said about the 999, but I have had some notable sheikhs that have confirmed that. But the key is this, that even Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he let us know that, well, Allah let him know that, you know, in the Quran, Allah, he said, I'm often forgiven, most merciful. I mean, he constantly speaks of his mercy and his grace. And I do want to say this because this gives nobody an excuse to continue to do wrong. Allah said, first of all, he said, when he decreed his creation of the heavens and the earth, he decreed that his mercy prevail over his wrath. So Allah is always showing mercy and extending mercy to us, all people, so that, you know, Allah don't want anyone to go to the hellfire. Allah says he extends the rope. He mentioned that it just symbolically like a rope. You drown and then, you know, you hold on to that rope and he going to make sure you safe. So holding on to the rope means holding on to the principles, the moral principles of the Quran and the moral life of Prophet Muhammad. If you hold on to those two, you cannot go astray. And Allah say this, he do say this, I do know this. This to be authentic, as authentic can be. Prophet Muhammad said, Allah said, if we guarantee him, Allah, as human beings, two things, he will guarantee us Jannah, paradise, heaven, in the hereafter. If we guarantee him that we will learn to control our tongue and our private parts. Very important. And that goes back to what you were saying about piety, because those are the two deadliest weapons that a human being got. Your deadliest weapons you got already on you your own deadliest weapons, your tongue and your private parts. That's why Ramadan is so good, because it's Allah says he give it to us to help us what? Learn self-restraint. Like you say, you can't become pious unless you're controlling yourself. Even if somebody says something to you that you don't like, or if they say something that's ugly that you don't like, if you restrain, Allah will bless you to become more pious. Just let it go. You know, Allah says his angels are with you if you avoid the argument with people. Don't argue with people just for the sake of arguing. You see, and we need all the help we can get from Allah. We need his mercy as much as we can get, obtain his mercy. But he did say in our conclusion, I think we're about ready, that he or she have obtained the highest attainment in this world who obey Allah and who obey Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Assalamu alaikum.
And that's
well, that's my poem. Thank you, Melcha. You are listening to again, Maria. You are listening to the radio broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat, Reality of the Creator. And we have a very, very beautiful, wonderful discussion, as we always do, though, which is, Allah put us in this world to test us, to bring out the best in us. And I, as I started to mention earlier about the graduations that I went through, I was listening over this list of some of the notes that I took as the speakers were speaking and the beautiful advice that they were giving to the youth who are entering the world now. And they have to realize that they are not entering not to be a responsibility for others, but to be responsible for themselves and responsible to others. Okay. And that responsibility, again, I said, it begins with the Creator, in which there was no word mentioned, as we know. But the advice was very good, regardless. And some of this advice I want to mention today was saying that everything that you touch, do your best to leave it better than you found it. It says, what do you want to go through in order to get what you want? You have a duty. You have a duty to do more, to always do more. And you should always tell yourself, I'm a quest for something better than myself. There are no excuses, just solutions. Who you become will always be more important than what you acquire. And you can expect struggles, hurdles, obstacles. This is what you want to encounter. And I thought the message was very strong. There's different speakers were speaking, and I was taking points from this. But they were very, very strong, very, very good information to remind the students to come out of themselves now, you know, and think about this world around them, their responsibility to those around them, and not just to that few group select ones, and not to the materialism that they are going to accomplish. Many are only thinking about money and materialism, but they let them know that unless you use it for the good of all concerned, the good of others too, it would be no good just to use it
for
your material accomplishment. And there was some heavy knowledge, there was wisdom that was being put out there for them to think about. And it goes to show that there is some hope in this world, but we still have to put our Creator first. And when we get to that point, we will have accomplished our goal to remind them that they have a responsibility, yes, but the responsibility is to their Creator, to do His will, to do His work. And so... And they are responsible for helping to make this world a better world, which they were, in so many words, telling them that this world, what
that's
conditions
right.
are your responsibility to change these conditions. And so we have to be thankful that we can see that that everyone is realizing now. It's being realized that there has to be some changes made, definitely. And these changes are not going to come from anyone or anything but self, but you.
That's correct.
Yourself. As we continue teaching Mel Shahid Shabbat, you and others, that Allah is not going to change conditions until you change what's in your heart. So we have to realize this, that the change is going to come from within.
That's
and
right.
You can see that change collectively happening. And issuing thoughts from within, then there will be no change. So I want to thank you, brothers, and to remind the audience that they are listening to this beautiful broadcast that's being brought to you every Sunday by Imam Shahid Shabbat and the guests that he's called on. We have had now for a few Sundays a beautiful guest from California, who's coming on. And we hope to see more guests, and in a way, I'm sort of responsible we're not having more guests on because it's up to us, as we say, to do our part, and I am to be at least trying to call by people to what they give us. And I have not been able to do that here lately, but no excuses. And Shalom, I'm going to try to bring half some guests along too to join us next weekend. And Shalom, that means God willing for those who don't know. It's the will of God. For those of you who don't know the word Allah and want to look so strange with me, Allah means God, the all in all, the one, the only one. Okay? That's who we are talking about. Your creator, the one who you call God, is Allah. To me, when I think of the word God, I think of a nickname that's been given to our creator. Because he is the all in all. He's not just God. God is limited to power mainly, you know. And a physical situation, condition of being the best. So we cannot limit Allah. We know of 100 attributes, but he has many more than that of Allah. So he's not limited to just being powerful and all the physical attributions of just caring and just being vehicle and all. It's just so many that we don't even know them all. We know some of the main ones that we learn of, the most important, all of the most important, but the ones that we need to know, I would say. So I want to thank you, our radio listening audience, and ask you to please remember, not just yourself, but mind to the radio and listening to the man, Shaheen Shabazz, for having someone else, encouraging them also to listen in. Now I bring back to you our guest again, to see if you might have a comment. I believe we have about 10 minutes left. So we'll call him on again to see if he has any comments at this time. And that's our guest from California. Are you with us? Imam Shabazz.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. That was beautiful. As usual, the sister and her Nasia always hits home. And I don't know if the guest, I know you are, Imam. You know, the first scholars in Islam, some of the first scholars were women. One of the first scholars that were women was Aisha. Right?
Yes.
Aisha.
Radiallahu anha.
Radiallahu
anha.
Because she was right there growing up with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That's right.
And she was real. You see, a lot of people don't know about her. She, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to word it right, not to offend him, but she was a strong woman. So she just didn't take anything. Like, I know you're familiar with the hadith where they came to her and would ask, what's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like? And the hadith says, He was like the Quran. He was the walking Quran. But that's not how she said it.
She's
like,
sure
what
isn't.
Do you mean what he was like? He was the Quran. You know, that was the type of personality she had, right? She was real inquisitive. She asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about everything. And her mind, she remembered a lot. So that she was one of the first hafiz of Quran.
That's correct. That's correct.
And just to let the women in the audience know that you have a lot of women scholars. So
yes, you do. Yes, you do.
A lot of things that non-Muslims that they tend to go to is cultural things and how women are treated in the deen in other countries. But that's not, you can't label that for every Muslim, you know? Women scholars, women doctors, women lawyers.
Yes, you do.
You have
women
in the deen that are very successful, Right?
Absolutely.
And I'm just grateful to be a part with the sister and yourself on the show, because it shows is another example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created what? Man and woman, right? And
that's
and,
right.
And he created it. So there's a reason why. We need them, they need us.
Hey,
right?
Can I share something with you, man, right quick?
Yes.
Allah says that he created everything he created in paths that we might receive instruction. So what is he saying? That we, the woman, she received instruction from us, and we ought to receive instruction from her.
Exactly.
It ain't no one way.
You hit it. Everything appears. Flowers, animals.
That's right.
Right?
Everything.
Appears. Yep.
That's right.
You are exactly right. He said that in a verse in the Quran. Yes. Everything.
And I want to say one more thing if I can, because I might forget it, and we're about ready to go. But I'm loving this show and loving having you on here. And the sister, too. I was saying on another CD, a talk show, the sister is really good. And it's a lot of sisters out here that, oh, man, they're contributing to making the world better than most of the men. Right now, I want to say this, too, and I commend them. I want to say that this is what comes from Allah, that the Most High, our Creator. Allah says, on the road that leads to Jannah, to heaven, Allah said there's an insurmountable obstacle, while people with only a light load can make it through to get to Jannah. Now, what is Allah talking about? It's this whole material world. You got to let it go in order to get to heaven. You got to die. And I'm not just talking. And so you see, a lot of Muslims don't understand that. You know, we letting these things of this world become like they are reality. They're not real. Allah said everything in this world is nothing but what? Goods and chattels of what? Deception. So we have to take things for what they are. The only thing good in this world, like you said, that go with us in the grave, is good deeds. And then they got to be what? Feasible in law. For the pleasure of Allah. If they ain't for the pleasure of Allah, Allah don't accept all your good you do. You know, so just wanted to say that because we don't have a lot of time. But Muslims, remember, out of this Ramadan, if you don't live to see another one, live your life not to please yourself, but only to please Allah. And then, like the brother Imam said, you have a good chance that you can might be saved on that awful day, that day of judgment. You see, just remember that. You know, live your life to please Allah, and live every day. And live every, not just this Ramadan, but live every day after Ramadan, too, like it's your last day. And you'll always be prepared, because Allah going to make sure you're prepared. We had an old saying, nothing be the failure but a try. If you keep trying to obey Allah sincerely, he ain't going to let you fail. I'm through.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. I want to remind you that you have been listening to the radio broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. And today our most powerful discussion was, Allah puts us in this world as a test to bring out the best. To bring out the best, not the worst people. Always look at what you do, what you say, what you wear, what you hear, and see if it's the best. If not, don't be pleased. Don't be pleased with it if it's not the best. Don't be pleased with yourself.
That's right.
Just know that you have some work to do on yourself. But remember, people, it all begins with your Creator, the one who is responsible for all life existing. It begins there by seeking the best through prayer, When you wake up in the morning, wake up with prayer. When you go to bed at night, pray. At your lunchtime, pray. In the middle of the day, pray. Prayer, prayer, prayer. All right? That is what will bring out the best in you, because it will keep you connected. Connected to the one who created you, the one who's responsible for you being here. And he didn't put you here just idly. That's a purpose for you, and will connect you to his purpose. Again, to thank you, Ma'am Shabbat. I think we have here about 2 minutes left, two or three. So if you'd like to say something and then close out, give a summary, so some end things, some things up, so to speak, some discussion up, I like to say, instead of things. Some discussion here, and give us a prayer.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say that, again, I pray that Allah bless all the sincere Muslims who are fasting this greatest month of all, Ramadan, to come out a better believer, a more obedient, a more pious, as the Imam said, a more pious believer than they went in. I pray that for all of the fasting Muslims, and I pray that the Muslims understand that Ramadan is not just for Muslims. Ramadan is for the whole world. This month is a month that Allah revealed his final revelation for, and sent Prophet Muhammad, raised him up as the final and last prophet for all mankind. So remember, Muslim, the greatest thing coming out of Ramadan to remember is to keep doing da'wah. Prophet Muhammad said during this month, you should do more charity than you do any other month. Because this is the month Allah sent down his greatest mercy, the Quran. And he raised up his greatest mercy, Prophet Muhammad. He said he's the greatest a mercy for mankind, too. As his Quran is a revelation, is a mercy for mankind. Prophet Muhammad is a mercy for mankind. And then my conclusion, Allah says, he or she who obeys Prophet Muhammad obeys Allah. So we have to think on everything that's been said by me, the brother Imam, and the sister, which has been so beautiful. I've learned a lot myself. I mean, it have humbled me, you know, just to hear some other people talk about the mercy and the grace of Allah, and especially the man talking about humility, because Allah's blessing me to become more humble every day, because I've been attacked viciously at the end of Ramadan, and I've just let it go. You know, I didn't respond to it. I let the people just attack me and just let it go. Say Allahu Akbar, you know? So, humility.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. So, you know, Allah said, repair evil with what is best. And you know, brother, ma'am, we always start this, two wrongs don't make a right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, like you had said before, I think you were saying that last week, the one that controls his anger.
Yes.
The one that controls his anger is a hadith. Well, I'll save it for the next time because it's almost time to wrap up. But there is a beautiful hadith about that. The one that,
well, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. Prophet Muhammad said the one that the strong man is not the one, you know, that's the strong physically and can hurt and not hurt somebody, but the strong man, a person there, is only the one who can control their self when they become angry.
Exactly.
So that's what you said. And he was teaching a man also in our conclusion. I hope I can get it in. And the man, I asked Prophet Muhammad, teach me Islam, teach me Islam. And he told him, do not become angry. And then he couldn't understand what the Prophet was saying, so he asked him again, teach me Islam. And the Prophet said, do not become angry. And then the Prophet seen he wasn't going to spare him a third time. So what did the Prophet say? Do not become angry.
No.
So it's very important for us to control our anger. Self-control, Allah said discipline and self-control is absolutely necessary in serving him. You can't do it unless you I got self-control. Self-control is the key to Jenna, because, you know, you can't obey Allah if you let self-control you, have you out of order, arguing with people, fighting. Self is our worst enemy, hindrance to get to paradise, the self. Prophet Muhammad said the greatest jihad is on ourselves, not anybody else. So with that said, Brother Imam, say a prayer for us, and we'll close out with your prayer.
I'll do the English translate. Verily, all praises for Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help. We seek His forgiveness. Whomever Allah guides, there's none that can misguide Him. And whomever Allah misguides, there's none that could guide Him. So may we all be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have His mercy showered upon us. And may we all seek the knowledge and seek the commitment that we need to be better Muslims, successful Muslims, so we could eventually, la'ilakum, perhaps make it to Jannah. I mean,
and I just want to say one thing, Brother Imam, because a lot of people get this mixed up. Allah don't misguide anybody, but Allah said, he leads astray, lead. Because he said they choose to go astray. He said those people that choose to go astray, he leads them astray. He leads them astray. But Allah don't mislead or misguide anyone. Allah's whole will is to guide us back to the straight way. But he said if you choose to go astray, then he will leave you in the path that you have chosen and land you in hell. So I just want to make sure that the people understand that, because it's different people say it different ways. And I don't want nobody to confuse the Creator as misguiding anybody into wrong, because His will is to guide you to all that is right and all that is good all the time. That's the only way you can get back to Him, is through His goodness and His righteousness. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right, brother. Absolutely right. Thank you for the clarification. I mean.
Thank you for coming on.
And thank you, our radio listeners. I've been listening to the broadcast, Sunday broadcast. I've been Imam Shahid Shabazz. We want to thank you for joining us this Sunday and ask you to join us again next Sunday at the same time for the radio broadcast. I've been Imam Shahid Shabazz, the Hour of the Creator.
There's no time
to
give love, and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just embrace our difference.